everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It's Monday, August 3rd. We just finished watching tonight's edition of Raw, and it's time for the Monday night tradition that we do every time afterwards here on Mega Powers Radio, the Raw post show. If this is your first time listening, you have tuned in to the most interactive post-Raw experience available. Why do we call it that? Because we have tons of ways for you, the listeners, to tell us your thoughts about the show tonight, pose us any questions you might have, or just try to troll us if that's what your intention is. Number of ways you can get yourself involved that I will tell you about in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you a number of ways that you can support this show if you have enjoyed it, or if you're a continuing person to enjoy it. Number one way is to find us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/megapowersradio, or just search for it on their box there. On that website, you can subscribe to give us as little as $1 a month. And that'll help us keep the lights on here at Mega Powers Radio Studios to bring you awesome shows like this one here. All talk show, Daceman show, and other fine programming that we got on here. You can also support us by following us on all the social media networks. And, of course, joining us live here every Monday night as we go on after Raw concludes. And if you can't join us live, find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, YouTube. And while you're on those places, rate, review, do all those good things that help us climb the charts. And, of course, invite your friends to listen, because that's the number one way that we're going to get new folks interested into the show. Now, if you want to get yourself involved rather than just hearing our voices ranting all along the way, there is a number of ways you can do that. The most fun way, of course, is to pick up your phone, be it cellular or landline, whichever one you're still stuck with. Dial into it 760-512-7247. Put you into the queue, and at some point throughout the show, we have a number of callers already waiting patiently, but we promise we'll get each one of you on here at some point tonight. And we'll get you on to do whatever you got to say. You could also do that via Skype, if you don't like using your phone. And if you're the type of person who's shy, that's fine. We got you covered as well. You can join us in the chat room. Shout outs to Wazili, who got here nice and early. A few guests there as well. Hey guys, register with blogtalkradio.com. Get yourself a fancy nickname there. Hang out in the chat room with all the cool folks there. Also join us via Twitter by tweeting to us at Raw Post Show, or on the Facebook group. The Mega Maniacs is the name of it. Search for it on there. You'll find us on there. We're talking all throughout the week about things going on. I mean, it's not just Raw. There's big news that drops in the middle of the week, as we saw this week with Piper, last week with Hogan. The big news stories going down, and there's always fun conversations dropping in the Mega Maniacs Facebook group. Now, let's get to talking about some of the shit that went down tonight, guys. We are hot on the road to SummerSlam. I think a lot of fun things happened on this show tonight. And I think this is 2 weeks in a row I could say that we have had above average Raws, which really makes it feel like it's a special time of year. So that's great things from WWE. But let me introduce the rest of the hosts here, and let's see what's on their minds about this show tonight. First off, with me is the Every Night Delight, Mr. Drew White.
And I'm here with the host that could boast the most, Mikey P.
I have a lot of toast. That's what I like to boast the most.
Yeah, hope you don't roast that toast, because it might not be as good.
I like it crispy.
Good.
And speaking of crispy, we got Mr. Sean Walker.
I should have gone to bed after the Neville and Seth Rollins match, because this Raw almost put me to sleep.
Well, if you fall asleep during this show, we'll know what happened. Also, speaking of crispy, we have the Colonel, Mr. Stephen Wago.
I don't like that nickname. That guy scares me.
Well, you're stuck with it now because of your Skype picture. And
oh, shit, I forgot.
And also with us, Pyramid Head, Mr. Tony Mango.
Pyramid Head, I forgot I had that up too. Shit. Good old Simpsons.
Well, fellas.
He's going to ask me about that hat?
I am gonna ask you guys about what the number one thing you took away from the show tonight and what the number of things that went down. I think we may get a bit of a variety here, so let me ask you guys, starting off with Mr. Drew, what is the number one thing you took from the show tonight?
Other than Byron Saxon not really ruining Raw for the most part, the one thing I really took away from is the just the championship pictures. I really like what they're going forward, and also the lack of Intercontinental Championship picture, because I don't recall Big Show being there as well as Ryback, and who knows what The Miz is doing. But I think the number one thing I'm going to take away is the no Intercontinental Championship stuff, which sucks because Ryback is the man and the big guy.
Well, we do know what the deal with Ryback is. I am surprised he hasn't been back yet, but he's not going to be back until he's ready. Big Show was suspicious by his absence. He must have just had another appearance in line or something. His schedule just had him elsewhere. Miz. we'll get to the Miz. Let's move along here, though. Shaw, what's the number one thing you took away tonight?
The number one thing that I took away from tonight is that we don't actually need the likes of John Cena and Daniel Bryan. This roster is pretty beefy, isn't it?
Well, I mean, without someone like John Cena, how beefy can it be?
Just ask the people at Arby's, they'll tell you.
Bump, 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 bump.
How beefy can the roster be?
Very
beefy. As fucking wanted.
How beefy is it, Giuseppe?
Fuck you, Giuseppe.
All right, Tony, what did you take away from tonight's show?
Who knew that Teddy Long got rehired as the general manager?
Oh, holla, holla, holla.
Tag Team City tonight. Although bitch. I liked it. I'd buy that shirt, Tag Team City tonight, bitch.
Wago, what did you take away?
This Raw by no means was anything special, but it was a solid episode of Raw. There was a lot of good wrestling on it, and that's what I take away from it. It was just a good wrestling show tonight. Nothing over the top, and it's setting the foundations for SummerSlam.
Indeed. Well, and all you listen out there, I invite you to tell us what the number one thing that you took away from this 3+ hours episode of Raw was. You could do that in the chat room, via Twitter, at Raw Post Show, and all those other means I gave you before. Again, to the callers, we appreciate you being patient. We're going to open up the phone lines as normal around 11:30. We already got a few people in there. As I was saying, if you want to get yourself heard, sooner you call, the quicker you get in. So dial that phone and get yourself on the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. Start the show off tonight, guys, with what was the big story this week, the passing of Hot Rod Rowdy Roddy Piper, WWE legend. And I don't want to spend all night just talking about Roddy Piper memories, because that's already been done to death. And I know we're going to be doing one of our retrospective episodes of Smack Talk this week, but they had a very touching video package tonight on Raw. They did the 10 bell salute on the stage. Everything very classy. The fans responded to it very well. You know, they kept their mouths shut for the 10 bell salute and then cheered really heavily when the music came on. I think this all very well. I have no complaints. Everyone was wearing Hot Rod shirts throughout the night. It was a very proper, that's what I'm looking for, a tribute.
Yeah, it reminded me of when the Ultimate Warrior passed, and you saw a lot of people with the Ultimate Warrior t-shirts throughout the night. And yeah, that was the main thing I took away from all of it. It was just a very respectful one. I mean, Roddy Piper's one of the biggest names in the history of wrestling, so you would expect them to do some type of tribute. And I like what they did for him tonight. Not over the top, but you know, yeah, just to showcase him and everything he's done. And I can appreciate a good tribute.
They had a lot of people on the stage. One of the most notable people I saw on there, of course, was Vince McMahon. You don't get many appearances of him on Raw anymore. And I'm sad to say this is one that stuck out to me, but I saw Dana Brooke there. That was she doing at the building on Raw.
She's been touring with their live event people.
Why?
Probably just to fill up some space.
Like the space around Randy Orton's dick?
No, they need to level out the people on the plane.
Okay. Dane Quinn saying something here at Raw Post Show, Miz breaking character was really cool and respectful. I'm guessing he is talking about at the beginning of Miz TV, where Miz, he did kind of drop character to pay tribute to Piper's Pit being the inspiration for Miz TV. That was very neat to see. But yeah, any other thoughts from you guys about our tribute to Hot Rod shown throughout the night?
I'll tell you one thing. fuck these fans. You don't talk during a 10 bell salute. And they're sitting there. It was like, I don't know, like six or something. And they're like, ooh, in the background. It's like, fuck you, dude. This is like so disrespectful to do that. I don't care if you're trying to chant Rowdy Roddy Piper or whatever like that. You've got 10 goddamn seconds. You can't shut up for 10 seconds.
Oh, I've heard them get way worse than that before, though.
Still, it's something that shouldn't be done. I mean, you can shut up for 10 seconds when you have a 3+ hour show where you can shout at the top of your lungs.
I agree. I'm not saying they can't be, but you know what? It's also different when you have that many people packed into an area, especially a lot of them have been drinking, and they're at an event that, you know, more than almost anything else you go to live, encourages you to scream and be rude. Like, is there anything else that encourages you to, like, just completely shame people that are performing in front of you?
Maybe parts of the circus? I don't know. I've never actually been to a circus, but you're supposed to be laughing at certain people, right? Like the lion tamers and shit?
Yeah, maybe like the freak show portion of it?
Yeah. Sideshows where it's like, oh, look at this lobster boy. Isn't he fucking weird?
Lobster boy.
Lobster boy. Is he with Monkey Junkie?
Oh,
spot chunky
goodness.
I didn't like that, though. I thought that was disrespectful and unnecessary. It's different when you do like the what chants to somebody who used to be a heel when they're doing the Hall of Fame speech or whatever, but it's like, Piper's dead. You didn't do this with Dusty.
Yeah, well, this town was a very different town. Actually, does anyone else have anything they have to add about Hot Rod? Because there's a topic I do think we could address.
I'll just drop this. Rest in peace, Roddy. Important place in history. I'm not the biggest fan of the guy, but WWE handled this perfectly.
Beautiful. The crowd they were in tonight, what was it, Fresno? Or what was the name of the town? I think it was
San Jose.
San Jose.
Simply says Raw After Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
It seems like they came back to that place really fast, if that was just where they were for WrestleMania. But yeah, they kept making a lot of allusions to that. And this crowd, I don't remember them being quite like that for WrestleMania, but man, they were so smarky and so obnoxious throughout this entire goddamn night. Like, from the Seth Rollins segment at the beginning all the way through every damn match. I don't know why, they just kept getting on my nerves.
I haven't had a big dose of San Jose, so I really can't say if that's just a smarky town or not, but
I never would have suspected it to be. It's not like a huge city. You know, Los Angeles is never like that. You know, you get your New Yorks, your Philadelphias, your Chicagos, even Montreal could be like that. Cleveland. I never heard of any place in California being like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe some of you guys might know more about that. The whole situation, but I didn't notice it as much as you. I really wasn't paying attention to the crowd. If I was always on my laptop and watching at the same time, multitasking, so I really didn't pay attention to the crowd so much. So I really didn't notice anything that was like too out of the ordinary or, you know, too like smarky. Because the one thing I really hate is just annoying fans that would just like the stupid chants. And I don't think we had like anything stupid like the Randy Savage chants or anything of that nature, but I will agree with you that it was a crowd that I won't say I hate, but I disliked in certain ways.
There's only one thing that actually stuck out to me as far as them being somewhat smarky is that we were chanting thank you, Rollins, about breaking John Cena's nose. And to be honest, I pissed my pants laughing at that, so I can't shame them for it. I found it funny. So overall, they were boisterous, but they weren't exactly over the top smarky. We've had a lot worse towns. There weren't like chanting JBL every other fucking second.
No, but I think this is a town that got a WrestleMania, and now they think they're hot shit.
Yeah,
could be that. Was it built in San Jose Mania, or did
they build
that
it
in like Santa Monica?
They built it Bay Area. Was how it was done. So it was really just like encompassing that whole part of California. Yeah. So we transitioned into our first segment of the actual part of the show, which was Seth Rollins coming out to talk to the crowd by himself, not a full authority promo, just Seth Rollins, sporting a brand new t-shirt mocking John Cena's Never Give Up shirt. It says, "Never Shuts Up." Very clever, with a little Seth Rollins logo on the bottom of it. They show video of him breaking John Cena's nose last week. When they come back, as Wago said, the crowd is chanting, "Thank you, Rollins, for the work that he did last week." I don't know about that. Rollins puts out an open challenge for the WWE title, which takes us to a commercial. So I was like, well, that was kind of building up for putting up a tease. Again, another one of these weird place commercial breaks. When we come back, he is in the ring with JoJo, who comes in and asks him about the open challenge. And he says, oh, but there is a couple caveats. The authority said that the person has to be under 6 feet tall and under 200 pounds, which they say basically just leaves El Torito. So they start playing El Torito's music. I'm interested. I'll watch El Torito and Seth Rollins run around the ring for a bit together. But it's a swerve. That's right, Swerved wasn't canceled. We just got moved to Raw. We had Seth Rollins versus Neville instead for the open challenge. These guys had an incredible, incredible match. Lots of close calls. It ends with Rollins getting the pedigree after Neville misses his second red arrow, the first of which he nails, and he just pulls too hard in the pin, getting Seth Rollins' foot onto the ropes. It was heartbreaking almost when that fall didn't make it, as well as a few other ones that were just so close. Easily match of the night and another contender for Raw match of the year, which there's just been so many kick-ass ones these last few months. Props to Seth Rollins and props to Neville too. If this didn't win him over with a lot of people in the backstage, this I don't know what he could do to do that. Your guys' thoughts on this match, Tony? Is Neville going to be a bigger star for this?
He damn sure better be. Holy shit, this was a good match. I actually, for those who don't know, I keep tabs throughout the whole year now. I learned my lesson from before through different things for the end of the year awards. I wrote this down as a potential match of the year. I really love this match, and I wrote down on top of it that the little spot with the foot on the ropes, that might be one of my favorite spots in the entire year. I know it's not like a spot like, you know, being thrown through a table or anything like that, but just in general,
everything about it was
so well done.
It was spot on. Like the camera angle, the reaction on the face of everybody.
Mm-hmm. The way that the referee counted just at the right speed for you to, I have Seth Rollins on my fantasy league team right now. For a split second, my heart dropped because it was like, don't fucking tell me he's losing the goddamn title tonight. Like, I bought into it 100%. And I loved the whole El Torito Neville switch too, because in the back of my mind, I was thinking to myself, well, there's probably a couple people that are underneath that, like, other than Jamie Noble and Jerry Mercury, or like, you know, maybe somebody like, Sami Zayn's kind of build. I know not him, but you know, I didn't think about Neville at first. I think I thought that maybe he was above 200 because, you know, he's a pretty muscular guy. But what a great choice for them to put him in there. I mean, he looks so strong now going into this match with Stardust. He looks like he could potentially challenge for any championship. Like, if they had him 2 weeks from now challenge for the Intercontinental title, I would probably assume that he would win it the way that what's going on with Ryback. Like, if we were to find out that he can't defend the title or anything like that, they're going to do a tournament or whatever, Neville would be like one of my top choices. That's a lot to say for somebody who's not been on the roster that long.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic match, top to bottom.
Indeed. Fellas, I have to ask you guys, if John Cena wasn't hurt, what would they have done? Would it have been John Cena versus Neville? Do you think these guys could have gotten as incredible of a match?
Well, we've seen a match between the two before, and it wasn't like anything that was terrible. And I think even when that match happened, I think we referred to it as like a match of a night sort of thing. But I consider Seth Rollins a better worker at between him and Cena. And these two have wrestled before, probably in NXT, so the chemistry was there. But man, it was just an incredible match just throughout the whole thing. It was just amazing to watch. And, you know, I wasn't really paying too much attention. I was paying attention the whole time, but I didn't notice when he hit the red arrow, and then when he, the legs hit the rope. I didn't even notice that at first. And the commentators hinted at, like, the possibility that the ref purposely didn't put his hand down earlier when Seth Rollins was pinned. And it was very, like, one of the closest calls I've ever seen to a three call in a while. And I thought that at first I didn't realize the leg was on the ropes. I thought that they were doing a crooked ref type of thing, and I thought that would have been terrible. But man, just everything that they did in this match was amazing and perfect. I really enjoyed it.
John, you think they could have hot-shotted this title on the Neville?
I'd love it if they hot-shotted the title onto Neville. I'm not going to lie. When the first time the false finish happened, I was off my seat jumping for joy. I thought it was a three count.
Even Seth Rollins thought it was a three count.
I'm not going to lie. I thought Asians were good with numbers, but obviously this Asian wasn't.
Oh, my God.
Damn. Ah, you missed me.
Wait.
But the Red Arrow spot was amazing, and the way how it ended, that pedigree was fucking insane.
So
the height on that.
Wago, is this stand up to the standards that we've received with the US Open Challenge?
Definitely. John Cena has been knocking them out of the park, and these guys delivered also. The first time they battled each other was on Raw as well, and it was a lot of fun, and they outdid themselves tonight, so I'm hoping we get to see.
If I remember right, that was the second week Neville was in.
Mm-hmm. And it was awesome, and Neville's proved that he's a player, he can work on this level, and the fans fucking love him, so I see big things in his future. As far as one thing I did hear Michael Cole drop on commentary as Neville, as Seth was heading to the back after winning the match was, winner takes all.
Well, Seth Rollins said that in his speech. He's challenged John Cena to one more match, but this time it was going to be title for title.
I must have missed that, but that worries me. I actually like John Cena in the role that he is. And if Seth wins both titles, that's awesome for Seth and all, but what does John Cena do then?
What I was thinking for a while that they would just like do like a fatal four way of sorts and just make it a two falls match, and I still hope that they go that route, even though it doesn't look likely now. So
I guess you guys have never heard of a fucked finish.
I was just about to say that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did a fucked
finish. They will absolutely do a fucked finish. And you know what? It's not gonna matter because they don't have to have the title match be the main event.
And
yeah, they've gotten out on this one. It's just a shame that they're gonna do that at SummerSlam.
Well, it's all about how they do it and what it sets up, because, you know, this could set up a great feud for both guys afterwards.
So, yeah, definitely. It just depends on what they do. If it's just going to be, Seth Rollins gets away with the authority thing again, I think I'm going to shake my head just because I've seen it too many times.
So Sheamus cashes in and wins?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God, no.
You know, I am actually kind of high on him right
so
now.
Does Sheamus win both titles then? No, really.
If they had that happen, goddamn it.
That would be such a dumb loophole if that's how they worked that out.
Wow, I really hope not.
I hope so. That would be incredible.
Oh, gosh. All right, guys.
Tony, a trip down smart cat moment.
I'm going to start opening up the phone lines here. So if you out there listening want to get your voice about what went down on Raw with what we've talked about or anything we haven't, or just anything about SummerSlam in general, dial in 760-512-7247 and join in on the conversation on the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on Mega Powers Radio. We're going to open up our first call to caller from 646. I believe this is our friend Aisha. Is that you there?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
We're all doing absolutely tremendous. Aisha, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah.
What'd you think about the show tonight?
Enjoying summer. I thought Raw was okay. Yeah, like I said, there's been good wrestling. Not much built to SummerSlam. Well, we got like a lot of weeks ahead, but yeah, but we saw things moving forward tonight.
What were the standout parts to you?
Well, definitely Cesaro and Kevin Owens, and I'm calling it now. That's kind of that match is kind of probably still the show because come on, it's Kevin, Dean, and Claudio back in ROH.
Yeah, it's only a shame Tyler Black couldn't be in the match.
I'm looking forward to that match.
Johnny Moxley. I'm definitely looking forward to that match though. I just hope that doesn't end up being a pre-show match. Hopefully, now that they have the 4-hour show, that's not going to be the case. You're going to say something, Drew? Anybody?
Too much.
They do 4 hours for WrestleMania. I think it'll be fine. And in that case, I'll almost definitely skip the pre-show. So.
I won't be surprised if you have a 2-hour pre-show.
We didn't get to see Undertaker tonight, but we did have Brock Lesnar, who just stood there on a platform. Is that got you excited for their match?
Mm-hmm. I guess a little bit. But
that's the power of Brock Lesnar.
I really don't know. This feud is just so complicated because I don't know, it wouldn't make sense for Undertaker to win, but then it's just so complicated. Like, I don't know. It's like I said, like last week, it's up to WWE what they're gonna do. I don't know.
It's a very tough spot. I almost think that you have to have Brock Lesnar win. He's a guy who is your, probably I would say your biggest draw through your whole company. And you know, Undertaker's cool and all, but I don't know. I'm one of those times I'm just happy not to be on that end, and I could just sit on the side and just watch and have fun. But more on the show that we had tonight. What did you think about that Seth Rollins Neville match?
That match was really good. I really thought Neville was gonna win, but I knew, like, nah, you think, come on, they're trolling us. Like, you think WWE's gonna give Neville the title, but would've been cool because Seth Rollins has been badly booked as champion, but WWE, but they put on an amazing showing. It's like Neville just continues to amaze us as fans, and you know, looking good.
All right, Aisha.
Okay.
What was your high point and low point for tonight's Raw?
High point, definitely Kevin Owens and Cesaro, and low point is Barrett.
Oh, what's wrong with Barrett?
This dude is a joke now.
He's not a joke, he's a king.
He's a joke.
He has a crown. That means he's a king. That means he's better than all the other peasants in that arena there.
Now he does not look legit.
Okay. All right, Aisha. We got a lot of other callers here on the line we need to get to, but we always appreciate getting you in here on the show. Always welcome. We'll talk to you again another time.
Okay, me too, guys. And I'll also rest in peace, Roddy Piper.
Absolutely. Do you have your favorite Roddy Piper memory you want to share before you go?
Oh yeah, definitely him versus Bret Hart for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. One of my favorite matches. Go back, very underrated.
Very kick-ass match, almost like the kickoff of Bret Hart's career. Mm-hmm. So you know, Bret Hart pretty much owes his entire livelihood to that. All right, Aisha, very cool call as always. You have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyone else out there you want to get your voice heard here on the Mega Powers Radio? Mega Powers Radio's Raw Post Show. Dial in area code 760-512-7247 and get yourself in line. We got a few callers sitting there patiently. We're going to get you guys in real soon. Just hang out. We're going to move on to another topic here with the hosts. Fellas, we had a tag team match, and I'm sure we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this. Los Matadores and the Lucha Dragons against the Ascension and the New Day. Primetime players getting to hang out on commentary. Biggest note I have for that is that Darren Young actually talked up a little bit more, and I kind of wish he didn't. Now I understand why he stayed quiet last week. He has such a funny voice, and like when you don't see it with his face, everything talking, it just sounded so awkward. New Day gets the victory here after interference from Xavier Woods causing a distraction for Kofi Kingston to hit the Trouble in Paradise. I'm guessing that they're setting up for some type of big multi-tag team match at SummerSlam. I guess that's fun. Honestly, like, the only team that matters is New Day. Like, not even the current tag team champions matter. It's just New Day. So, this is all just to watch New Day do their thing. Tony, I know you're looking forward to that the most.
Damn right. Just keep, like, sending the New Day out against anybody. I don't care. And you can have Kofi Kingston do that stupid ass clap that he does to the ring now, which is amazing. And just stop with the fucking primetime players on commentary. I know that some people like it. Like, Leslie likes Titus. I don't like either of them. But Darren's really fucking awkward, like you were saying. And I don't remember what it was he said tonight, but something had stood out to me. I forgot to write it down, though. And I'm kind of disappointed that I didn't. Cause it was something like he fucked something up and they pointed it out to him. And he was just kind of like, well, you know. He's just like, oh, you poor little guy.
Nothing?
Yeah. Guys? Okay. Oh, shut up. And, you know. What's a little bit awkward for me about this whole feud, though, they had the four teams in the ring now, and then the fifth team, of course, on the outside with the tag champs. I don't know if they can really do five teams.
Why not?
And at the same time, like you were saying, does any of them, like, really matter at all except for the New Day? I mean, the Lucha Dragons, possibly, but they've been ignoring them for far too long, and they need to bump them up. And if they really want them to, like, be worthwhile, they need to bump them up considerably for the next 2 weeks, and I doubt that they're going to do that. So really, it's looking right now like it's just more of like, let's get a whole bunch of people on the card and cram them in together for the sake of getting them on there, and let's not actually put any effort into it. And maybe at Night of Champions something decent will happen, but I'm not really too much into this feud right now.
Oh.
Match was cool.
Oh, but I know how you do five tag teams. You do a tag team scramble.
That would be so awesome. That's why they're not going to do it.
And then, like, think of how big that would be for New Day to win over four other tag teams.
They could do that, or they could also do a gauntlet, as they say on the streets.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them doing a gauntlet. I could see them doing maybe even, like, some kind of, like, an over-the-top thing or something. But I would assume a gauntlet's probably the way they're going to go. And I don't know if I want to see a gauntlet with those teams just kind of rushing it.
Yeah, like, you know, like, Los Matadores would come out there and get taken down in, like, a minute and a half.
Right. What's they'd do, like, point? Three or four little spots, a couple Hurricanranas, and then they'd get pinned.
Like, the Bull comes in and does something really quick, and it's like, hey, okay, thanks for coming.
Right. Yeah, and they could do better than that. They can put a little bit more effort into it.
Oi. Drew, is Titus O'Neil any good on commentary?
He's okay. I think the issue with Titus, he gets a little too into it. In some aspects, so sometimes where it could be decent, sometimes Titus is he's kind of a lost cause. So I mean, he can't be worse than Darren Young. At the end of the day,
wait.
At the end of the day, it can't be too bad.
Wago, I was about to ask you, what's your thoughts on Darren Young on commentary?
Fucking terrible! Jesus Christ! Do you know when they put poo on the microphone and like he was really upset about it? Can they just put shit on his commentary mic so he doesn't talk and he just kind of flinches away from it the whole time?
I thought you were going to make an allusion to him being shit on the mic.
can I just call that segment that Darren Young?
Oh.
Yeah.
It's where like Darren.
Oi. I'm going to pull something off our Twitter again. Anyone out there who wants to tweet to us, go at Raw Post Show is the handle that we got. We got Dane Quinn, good friend of the show, tweeting to us. No way that a guy will hold both titles. Speaking of course, we were talking about John Cena and Seth Rollins going title for title. He says, he goes on to say, Sheamus will cash in either at SummerSlam or the Raw after, no later. So I guess this is becoming a popular opinion that Sheamus is going to somehow be the man to walk out with the title either at SummerSlam or around there. I mean, is this possible, guys?
Nope.
No.
I don't think it's possible, but I like I said, I wouldn't complain if Sheamus somehow were to come out as a WWE champion in the next pay-per-view or two. I'm a little higher on Sheamus than some of the others here, ours. So it might be a little biased, but
definitely said arse.
I was hoping, guys, we don't have to bring that up. Come on, let's get past that. But yeah, like I said, Sheamus, he's a lot better than what he was a few years ago, so I can't really complain from that. And he's been putting on good matches recently, so I'm not Sheamus. I'm not Tony here, who's just not going to watch Sheamus because he's biased in his opinion about Sheamus. So I'm going to give him. I think he's got a shot, guys. Come on.
Indeed.
You better not fucking win the title.
All right, guys. I got a special guest coming on here. Someone who hasn't been on the show in quite a while. I know you guys have really missed him. Yo, JD. JD. JD?
Jared?
Hello?
Jared?
Something shit on his mic.
JD? Why aren't you talking? Well, he's obviously not paying attention. Well, that was a big waste. Thanks for wasting our time, JD.
Give you one chance.
Yeah. Do not miss your chance to blow. All right. Well, in that case, let's try this other number from 540.
Oh, I know the lyrics to this one. Bad dude. Bad dude.
Hey, Jeff? 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 Hello?
They both give you the middle finger tonight.
Yeah, what a waste. Jeff, you there?
What?
It's a silent treatment.
Yeah.
They're probably trying to prank us on their show, and they're failing at it.
All right, let's try JD. Let's try JD again. JD, you there?
Hello?
JD?
What?
This is not JD.
This is JD. What's up, JD?
Yeah. I'm not JD. I am not JD.
I know your number, JD. I know you've called it last time.
JD. I am not JD. I am Jeff.
Okay, well, what's on your mind this week, JD? What'd you think of Raw?
Well, whatever.
All right. Well then, JD apparently didn't want to talk. Let's try Jeff again. Jeff, you there?
Hey, Payne. You know who this is?
Yeah, Jeff. What's up?
No, it's JD.
It's Joe?
Your nightmare.
Fun couple of callers. Continuing the conversation here, fellas, we had a tag team match between Divas, the Bella Twins, against Charlotte and Becky Lynch. They had a really, really fun match, I gotta say. It felt like this match went about 20 minutes. Every Diva showed their stuff here. No one could call the Bella Twins slouches. They held their end in this very well. Charlotte gets the victory with the figure eight. I think the biggest thing of note we're getting out of this is that the team for Charlotte, Becky, and Paige have finally come up with an official name for themselves. The Submission Sorority. Very interested to hear your guys' thoughts on that name. Tony, you're a person who's very big on names. What's the deal with Submission Sorority?
You know, the first thing I thought of when they spit that out was just... but... after they said it a couple times, it's not too bad. They could have done better, for sure. But it's a hell of a lot better than just Team Becky Lynch and Paige and Charlotte. That went on for way too long. I think I'll grow to like it. And I think, unfortunately, I'll grow to like it right around the time where they stop using the name. Like, it's going to take that kind of long, and then they're just going to get rid of it, because I don't see this team sticking around for many, many months. Like, the Bella Twins team isn't going to be around forever. Alicia Fox is going to go off and do her own thing, and Team Bad's going to split up at some point anyway, too. But, like, I can't see the three of these women all uniting and stuff like the Shield did, where there was like 3 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. So submission sorority, it's fine. It's a little bit like backwards, I guess you could say, with the Divas division. It seems like a name that they would have given to something like Tori and a couple other people back in, you know, the early 2000s and stuff. That's fine. No. It's better than if they tried to go with something that sounded like cool but just came off nerdy.
Actually, I really was hoping that they...
Well, I was really like nervous that they were going to go with Team Revolution.
Mm.
Everybody kept referring to them as that, and I was just like, that is so fucking bland and dumb. I can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least Submission Sorority, it's got a little bit more of an edge to it. I'm curious to see what t-shirts they do, though. And if it can have all three of them come out in sorority schoolgirl stuff.
Yeah, now we're talking. This is,
all for it.
If they go with the sorority gimmick, you know what? They just got to do like the Greek letters for their like first names or something like that.
Oh, there you go.
Is there like
a
variation of it that kind of sounds badass? Team I don't know. Man. I'm not up on my Greek letters. I know Omega is awesome. an epsilon or whatever is stupid. I can't use that.
Yeah, but
you know, there's a phi in there. It's close to pi.
They all drop to Z. Lord Z. Sean.
Jello.
Is Becky Lynch gonna be a standout in this? Because she honestly was the weakest person in this match. If I had to pick somebody,
I don't think she is. Be honest, I just don't like this. I was a fan of it when they brought all of them up.
Do you think it's not allowing anyone to get a full exposure of themselves? Like everyone's just kind of like stuck in the mix.
With all this tag team and shit, I don't think they've utilized their talents enough. Like we've seen enough of Charlotte. Yeah, happy days. She's Ric Flair's daughter. Woo, figure four, all that jazz.
It's actually a figure eight.
I'm hoping this shtick is gonna finish up around Survivor Series. That's what I'm hoping. And then everybody just breaks off and do their own thing and Becky Lynch will challenge Paige to the fucking Divas belt or whatever. I don't fucking know. But I'm just over this tag team bullshit.
You know, the only one of these that really seems like a team is Team Bad. Like the only ones I really get this impression that they're a unit. Am I the only one in that?
I don't know. I kind of look at the belt. You know, maybe Nikki and Brie as a team. And
yeah, Nikki and Brie, but then Alicia is just like this person they just brought along with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that they have any unity because I don't believe anyone can be in a room with Naomi for 5 minutes without wanting to slap her.
Yeah.
And I got the opposite way with team. Whatever the fuck it is, Submission Sorority. I think that seems really forced. That's what I don't like about it. Their friendship seems forced.
Mm.
Not as forced as fucking Charlotte with the Woos.
Oh my gosh, especially in that one like pre-match promo they did in that little box.
She might as well have just gone, woo, woo, woo.
Ahem, everybody, woo.
Ahem, I'm Ric Flair's daughter.
You know what I'm gonna do next? Woo!
I don't even remember what she had said, but it was something like pointless. It was just kind of like, yeah, like we're gonna win that match. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
God,
yeah, it wasn't even like she hit a good zinger. Like if she had hit like a really good line, then it might have been cool. But like,
or it wasn't even like enthusiastic. Where like Ric Flair would go fucking nuts, and he would just be like, oh shit, oh my god, fucking woo, 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 oh, heart attack,
oh fuck, I'm bleeding.
Yeah, like, and she's just kind of like, hey, it's interview time. Okay, woo, and I think it's Becky's turn. With her Nickelodeon outfit on.
Yeah.
It just wore odd colors. It was like purple and yellow or purple and orange or something.
It was great green.
Green and purple.
Pink, it was green and pink.
I think it's purple. Whatever it is, she was out of 1990s Nickelodeon, and it was fucking stupid.
Let's ask Wago, I mean. All these O names.
Yeah, I really liked her gray and gray outfit.
Well, that is what she debuted in.
I really liked her gray and gray outfit.
Woo.
All right. Well, we want to remind everyone out there listening that this is the most interactive post-Raw experience available. Tell us what you thought about Charlotte's woos, about anything on the build to SummerSlam and went down on Raw tonight. Number to dial, area code 760-512-7247. The chat room is, of course, open as well. Pretty quiet there tonight. Where the heck is everybody? And, of course, on Twitter, at Raw Post Show, the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Tons of ways to get your voice heard on here. And we're going to bring on our next caller. It is one of them from the 609 area code. This is 609-658. Who are we talking to here?
Hey, what's up?
No. What's up, Chanel? Sorry, it's confusing because you guys got the same area code. What'd you do? How you doing tonight, man? What'd you think about Raw tonight?
I gotta be honest, I didn't watch the whole show out tonight, so I
didn't
to see happening.
Big baller.
So what I saw from the half.
What were you doing?
Was pretty good.
What were you doing?
What I was doing, family.
You were doing family.
Was it David Attard's family?
You were busy with family. Okay.
Then you got here. Dinner with family.
Oh, okay.
There you go. All
right, well, now we got to ask, what were you eating?
Well, what were you eating?
Family. I asked this, bro.
What'd you think about Raw? Of what you saw.
Okay. From what I saw of it, I thought Raw was pretty interesting. Paul Heyman did another good promo for Brock Lesnar, saying at the match pretty well. Mm-hmm. And the Divas match was pretty good between Paige and Naomi. And the main event was decent.
It was decent. That's a fair analysis of it. It was decent. Are you feeling the hype for SummerSlam?
Actually, yeah. I'm interested in what's going to happen with Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. It's hard to predict who's going to win because Undertaker needs to redeem himself, but at the same time, you have to keep Brock Lesnar looking strong. And for the WWE title match, you never know. They may have John Cena hold the belt again.
They could always do that at any time. That's the thing about John Cena and that title. So I've been asking the callers tonight, do you have any like hot rod memories? Any memories of Rowdy Roddy Piper that you want to put out there?
His match versus Ric Flair was my big one.
Which one was that one?
And all his, I think it was in 92, 91, maybe.
Okay. That was on one of the early 90s Starcades. So you talking about that one?
Again.
You're talking about, I think it was on one of the early 90s Starcades, I think you're talking about.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
All right, Chanel, your high point and your low point for tonight's edition of Raw.
High point was Heyman's promo. I thought that was pretty good. And the low point, because they didn't really have one.
That's always a good thing when a show is good enough that you don't have something that's a low point. All right, Chanel, we got some other calls here. We're going to keep moving. Oh, what's up?
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
I saw your Divas and Supercharged Knockout Tournament.
Yes.
Yep.
Want to talk about that?
Absolutely.
Got any thoughts on it?
Yeah.
Who you rooting for?
I think Sasha Banks is pretty hot, guys.
Yes.
Yes, vote for her over Lana.
Yeah, I think Sasha Banks is absolutely a favorite. She is adorable. She's got the looks. She's got the skill. She's got the personality. She is just on fire. I don't see many people being able to beat her.
Right now, she's going up against Lana, and the last time I checked, it was pretty damn close. I just double-checked it. Lana's winning by one vote.
Get out of here, people. Head to SmarkOutMoment.com. Find the hottest divas Lana's and superstars, overrated. And vote for Sasha Banks on that. And also,
yes.
Vote for Fandango.
He's winning right now, too, I think.
Good.
Good. Really?
Yeah, but he's beating Roman Reigns.
I know. I didn't get to do the episode this week, but as much as it pains me, I would actually go with Fandango over Roman Reigns.
Now, are you voting for the men's tournament too, or just the women's?
I seen both. I think Roman Reigns should win. Sounds weird enough, but yeah, Roman Reigns should win the whole thing, I guess.
So you're predicting Sasha Banks and Roman Reigns to win both of them?
The whole thing? The whole thing, probably Eva Marie and Roman.
Oh.
But I want Sasha Banks to win.
So you're going for the two-peat for Eva Marie. She won last year. I got to say, I finally got around to watching Eva Marie's re-debut on NXT, and she looked damn good. That woman, she if she can keep going on the track of getting herself better in the ring and more comfortable on the mic, she may have quite a career for herself if she can keep
going.
I would love it if she could prove all the doubters wrong and throw it all in their face. All right, Chanel, we got to keep moving along here. Happy we got some talk about that, though. You have a good night, man. All right. Let's see. Looks like Jeff's calling back in. Let's see what he got more to say. Jeff?
Hello, guys.
Hey, Jeff. What's up, dude?
Nothing. What's going on?
What? just hanging out talking about Raw, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, actually. You know who this is, though.
Oh, is it Silent Wind of Doom?
John Cena!
So glad you had that.
This thing is a blue box.
That's who this is, right?
No, Pain. It's your worst nightmare.
Oh. So it is.
John Cena!
Someone who's worst nightmare, you're not really getting the point across here.
Yeah. Someone that you know very well, and you had a segment of him a long time ago, and you haven't had him on in months, however, because of your arrogant ways, however, and the way you guys handle things on the show. Can you guess now?
Is this...
Cena?
Is this Ferris?
No.
Is it the imposter?
It's JD. No.
Thank you. I was waiting for that.
Wait, did you say this is JC?
John Cena!
Clever.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So, is there like a point to this call?
The point is, however, you shunned me, however, and kept me off your show for 4 months, however.
Oh, you counted?
You did not get the call? Since then, it's going to show you that me and my colleague have done a better show than you guys have done, however, really, in more ways than one. So,
oh yeah.
If you guys,
what's it called?
Losing me and John as your regular caller, huh? You lost. This is Ask JD Now segment, and I hope you guys are happy because you definitely not only
off
a lot of JD's fans, you realized what you did, and it was a wrong thing to do.
To be fair, he did bring up the.
So let you have.
There's no one listening to. Yeah.
What's your show name?
My show?
What's the show name?
No, yeah. No, not your show. Not WCW. Totally.
I'll tell you what. My show is WCW US Raw.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah, well, I've done better than you guys on Mega Powers because you guys totally screwed the pooch in a lot of ways.
Well, the pooch was willing.
About boys have this relationship. I'm supposed
when the pooch was willing, however, you had a chance to keep JD, like it said, me on the air, but yet you screwed it all up.
Oh no.
All arrogant that, however. And you lost a lot of fans, however, who had asked JD anything, however. So you guys kind of.
Oh no, not asked JD anything, however.
I know. I think.
Unless you have a question for Ask JD anything now, I just want to let you guys know.
John Cena!
That was a weird thing to let us know. Yeah. And he just hung up after that.
I thought that we lost it, so how could we have a question?
You guys lost it, but you want to do it? Fucking loser. Oh, man.
I'm so glad you had that John Cena clip. Anytime somebody says, it's, I think it's John Cena.
I actually ran and got my bell at the start of the show when I heard who was calling it.
Oh, thank God. I thought that bell was retired, but hey, you know what? If Ric Flair could come out of retirement like 8 times, I think the bell can as well.
Well, that's not going to be a regular thing, I hope.
Ah, darn.
Why the fuck these guys are... They have their own radio show. Why are they calling into ours?
Are they doing... Is it
right
now?
They don't have any listeners.
Yeah, is it right now?
Oh, we should...
Oh, we have to look for this.
What was the name of it? Something like WCW.
I don't know. All I heard was cricket, cricket, cricket.
Let's see what is on.
Yeah, we're just gonna go ahead and waste some time here on the show while I look this up.
Good 2 hours of waste. Raw ended quite early.
Oh, that's right. They're on Talk Show.
Not Blog Talk.
It is not Blog Talk. It is.
Wait, they talk in a shoe?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, you know those old shoe phones people would grab and you'd have to pull out the little antenna and all that?
I'm on my shoe.
When you say talk shoe, I think of like cartoons where like the kids will like talk with like the cans with like the string attached, and then there's like the one idiot who has a shoe instead of a can with the string on it. So
talk can network is more expensive.
Which is understandable, you know. I mean, last time we talked, JD, he was unemployed, so it makes sense he's on Talk Show.
Oh, but apparently it's on Sundays.
Oh,
that's a great Monday Night Raw
episode. Yeah, right? What a shit. a time paradox in the chat room. You actually have some callers, and this is what you do. This is not how we normally treat callers. Just those guys. So if you want to call in, why don't you go ahead and do it?
we hope we don't.
Area code 760-512-7247. This show has absolutely derailed the last like 10 minutes. I'm sorry, guys. Let's get back into talking something about Raw here. We had a really fun segment for Miz TV where Miz came out first off paying tribute to the Hot Rod and Piper's Pit, which I thought was really cool. He introduced his first guest, Kevin Owens, who doesn't even get a chance to speak. Like, I was actually interested to hear this interview with Kevin Owens and The Miz. But Cesaro comes out and tempers flare really quickly. Best part of this whole segment is The Miz sitting in the middle, just, like, egging each of them on. And then, like, as they're getting more and more pissed off, getting, like, giddy and, like, sitting on the edge of his seat and, like, hopping up and down like a child on Christmas. It was fantastic. really, really fun segment. Looking forward to this match with Owens and Cesaro. And Miz, you are on fire with what you're doing right now. Let me ask you guys some stuff about this. Wago, is Miz TV a good equivalent of Piper's Pit, or is it a sad knockoff?
I hate every single talk show that's ever been in WWE. I don't like them, I don't think they work, and 9 times out of 10, they ruin an entire show for me. But not tonight, fortunately, because it was kept short and it was to the point. The Miz did a fantastic job. I liked that he dropped a mention to Roddy Piper. And Cesaro was a little bumpy on the microphone, but he needed what he did. He said what he needed to say, and he teased the big swing. And honestly, that's the thing that can get him over.
Sean, is Owens and Cesaro going to be a match that can stick out on the card of SummerSlam, packed with everything else that's going to be on there?
I honestly think it's going to be match of the night.
Match of the night on top of Lesnar and Undertaker, Rollins and Cena, possibly something for the Intercontinental title. You're going to put that on top of all that.
Yeah, wrestling-wise, yeah. Not storytelling-wise, but wrestling-wise. But can I just say, Cesaro's music doesn't annoy me as much. I don't know why.
Maybe we're just so tone-deaf to the sirens now that we just kind of gotten used to it. Because I will agree, it hasn't been as bad recently as it was maybe like at the beginning of the year.
All right, this is weird because I literally wrote down a note that it didn't bother me as much tonight.
Yeah, it started to wear off on me, but I still wish you could have a different theme. Just grab someone who's not using it anymore. Like, Drew McIntyre's or fucking Zach Gowen's. There's been some awesome themes which aren't being used anymore.
At least he's not using the one that Layla and Taryn used. I need a boy and shit.
Well, shit, why does he just come out to Roddy Piper's music? He's not going to be using anymore.
I'm down.
Zinger.
Yeah, so overall, fun segment. I got to say, is anyone an objection to that?
No. The only disappointment of the whole segment is that the Miz TV sign above the stage is defunct, which is very sad, but overall, good segment. Nothing to complain about. And Miz TV, Miz's face. Gold.
Did Owens call Cesaro Cena?
Did he? I thought he called him Claudio.
I wasn't sure if I had overheard it or misheard it or anything like that. I thought the first time he referred to him, he said something like, well, Cesaro's jealous.
Oh, he might have done a slip like that. I do remember him doing some kind of slip with his words.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to bring up, has the walk Owens walk thing been something Cesaro's been doing for the past couple of weeks?
No.
No, but he should definitely keep pushing it because that can catch
Unless he's done it on SmackDown. I don't recall him doing it on Raw.
That was actually one of the biggest things to take away from this promo. That line was actually getting people to chant it, and he's not a big promo guy, so he could use that as a crutch during this feud.
Yeah, and he needs crutches because he sucks on the mic.
I didn't think it was too bad. I think we're being a little harsh on him, and you know, that whole brass ring, he has 2 to 3, yada yada yada. He didn't do too bad, and he was able to hold his own out there, yeah. Which, you know,
I thought he absolutely held his own. The only thing he had trouble with is getting his shirt off.
Oh, that was really awkward. It was just like, god damn shirt.
What?
And these shirts are too
I would have just fucking ripped the buttons at that point.
Yeah, I would come to play in these type of things, because like, you just gotta know that, like, oh, I'm going out to the wrestling ring, man, maybe I should wear something that's not a button-up shirt and like pants like Triple H. That's the only thing I could think of the entire time, because he struggled.
Well, we can't all be Kevin Owens and just not change clothes ever.
If you were Kevin Owens and you were cutting a promo next week or on SmackDown or something like that, wouldn't you kind of bring it up and be like, well, you know, how am I going to beat you? I mean, I'm not a shirt or anything.
Think about Kevin Owens. Every time I see those shorts he wears, they just look like $5 shorts you get at Walmart, too. And it makes me laugh every single time.
You know who I would like?
And I understand.
You know who I'd like to hear burn Cesaro up for the shirt problems? Is Rusev. Rusev has some good jokes, that kind of stuff.
He brings props, too.
Well, speaking of Rusev, we had him in a match against Mark Henry tonight. Very short match. The return of the Rusev squash matches on folks. He finished the match with one of his kicks, which I think he's done once in a while before, but in general, he still has stuck to the accolade. This is the first I can remember him really finishing a match off with that. Whether that's going to be a move he starts using more, if he just used it because Henry was a big guy, I don't know, but it's good to be versatile and have different things, especially now that he's wearing the boots. His kicks can be a little more impactful, right? So, makes sense. Other than that, boring Raw squash match. Shame, Mark Henry actually deserves better, I think. He's a veteran who's been there a long time. He should be taken a little more seriously as a force. I mean, this guy is a former world heavyweight champion. The whole Hall of Pain thing. He should at least put up a fight, you know.
Just give him another promo where he cries again. Apparently when giants cry, they get pushes afterwards.
Apparently. To be honest, though, like, he does have a good like super kick, if you want to call that, or just a regular kick. It's a nice kick. It is. I want to complain about him being used. It. And, you know, I recall him having a match with Mark Henry earlier, like last year when they were doing the USA versus Russia thing. And I recall him, like, trying to lock an accolade, but it looked terrible. Mm. So, maybe that it's just a one-off, but if he were to use something along those lines as a finisher down the line, I wouldn't complain. But
I imagine Mark Henry is not a very nimble dude. He is not a subscriber of DDP Yoga.
I mean, Cena is able to do the STF, but to be honest, he doesn't do it right. So he's just like hold grabs onto him. It's pretty much a headlock. So I can understand why maybe he would have trouble with the accolade. He has to fit that big ass body in between his legs.
I really wish that if he's going to have a finisher, I'd prefer him not to use the kick. I'd rather them come up with something else. Shit, like, how about Umaga's fucking version of the Samoan drop? That'd be perfect for a guy like Rusev.
I thought you were about to do the thumb.
The Samoan spike.
They can come up with something Russian something. Then again, he's not Russian anymore, so I'll figure it out.
The Bulgarian headbutt.
Just do a hard punch.
Hard punch, yes.
Someone needs to bring that back.
I believe, I don't know if they're allowed to do that. I recall that like being very unsafe to do.
Yeah, so. I imagine that move would be way too dangerous for anybody to try all these days. It's just like same reason nobody does the cross-faced chicken wing. You know, like just destroy people.
Maybe mean Mark Callis will bring it back for Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Maybe. Curb stomp as well. And I think that's just a concussion thing to worry about. I think a hard punch could fucking kill someone if they really wanted to.
Okay, Drew. You didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, listen. It's not
there was a very good joke there, but it was lost on
you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Maybe between you guys.
So, shut up, Drew. All right, we're going to take on our next caller, 609-462. I guess this is Janelle or Jaden. I just combined your two names. Jaden, what's up, dude?
Yeah, Jaden. Yo, what's up? I didn't really get to watch Raw. I saw a little bit.
Were you reading Family?
Oh, you want to talk about Tough Enough?
Wait, what did you say?
He asked if you were eating Family. Yeah, what do you got to say about Tough Enough? Because I know it's been on a lot of people's minds the last couple weeks. A lot of controversial things going down.
Yeah, situation with Patrick. I mean, I kind of didn't really like him because he was, like, really arrogant. And the fact that he got eliminated was kind of crazy, even though I voted for Josh. ZZ, I felt like he should have been eliminated. I thought it was coming to him because he was like, slacking the past couple of weeks, he made a shrine with a Patrick. And he had on no shirt. The picture he was like had on no shirt and he had shots of milk with him. That was so creepy.
Sounds creepy.
And like ZZ just needs to go home. Like I understand his charisma and everything. Like go home, go back to wrestling. Was it Gators? Yeah, Gators. And the fact that Mata got eliminated is kind of crazy. Because Mata has charisma. I guess he can fight. He seems like he can fight. So, I like two controversial endings. I really, really disagree. I kind of really disagree with both of them.
Well, and from my understanding, you know, people were upset enough about Patrick going, but this whole Mata thing, the worst thing about it is that Mata wasn't even the one who was supposed to get eliminated. He had the second most of fan votes.
I voted for Amanda.
What? Why? Because she's hot?
She's so... Yeah, not that, but she would make, in my opinion, but she would make a perfect fit in Boss Nation, or whatever it is, with Sasha Banks and whatever.
Bad.
Whoever is in that group. I don't really know. Tamika. Yeah.
Tamika.
I know. I was talking and they were like, that's crazy, but I don't know. She has, like, that personality. So, yeah. Everybody says she's bland, but I don't think she's bland.
Tony, you're the biggest watcher of Tough Enough here. What are you thinking about these situations the last couple weeks?
I think as soon as Patrick got knocked out, this show went down considerably. And it seems like WWE is kind of in the same mentality where they're like, fuck this show.
Well, did you watch this past week?
Yeah, the whole situation with Mata was really kind of crazy. The Miz used his everybody gets their own save, mm-hmm. and nobody's used it so far. So this is the first week that the Miz had a chance.
And the first week, like, Miz was even there. Like, what? Yeah. And from my understanding, he might not even be there full time.
I think he is going forward.
Okay.
Because he was hosting Tough Talk, the show that came on afterward, and they just bumped him up and gave that spot to Byron Saxton. So he doesn't have any more saves anymore, but...
Byron Saxton is?
Byron Saxton did a great job on Tough Talk. He did a great job. I saw the Tough Talk. It was he did great.
He actually did. It was surprising.
He was like, Yeah, I thought he would be like bland and like boring and stuff, but he actually did pretty good. I was actually very surprised. But other than that, Patrick getting eliminated kind of really took a toll on the show because like Patrick was kind of like I feel like he's meant to be in the WWE. Like he's like the perfect fit. He could be really good, and he'll probably be back. I won't be surprised if he's not. But yeah, and Mida, he might be back. I'm not sure.
Well, here's the thing: is at the end of this, they are absolutely required to give somebody a $250,000 contract. And with Patrick gone, who was a lot of people's favorites, after I heard him gone, I actually heard a lot of people talking about this Mada guy. And of course, ZZ, but Mada was the other guy people were telling me to keep an eye on. And now that he's gone, that really worries me because it's like
Josh will win.
Josh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tanner just needs to work on his promo. And he'll be a perfect fit. But ZZ needs to go. Like, I'm sick and tired of him. His fat self needs to go.
I've heard that they're purposely trying to make him look bad so people can like vote him off.
From my understanding, he's been in the bottom three almost every week.
He looked like he was about to cry. Everybody was talking about him. They wanted him to go home. He didn't deserve to be here. But like, I kind of felt bad for him. But at the same time, that should be like a reality check for him. And honestly, it isn't because I looked at a digital extra. And he was like struggling to do the drop down, an easy drill. You just drop down, and the person jumps over you. Are you serious? You can't drop down.
The one time I think of a drop down, was when
What are you saying, Drew?
Thank you. Well, I remember on Total Divas once, someone's boyfriend like went to like the performance center, and they couldn't do a drop down. And like Bill DeMott just like ripped his asshole about it. It was like the big Tony, was it Cameron's boyfriend? Like in season one who did that?
Yeah, Vincent.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Vincent.
I remember that. And that just reminded me of that and like how like he just like couldn't get up after doing so many drop downs because he sucks at it.
Why did they have the boyfriend there? He wasn't the one competing.
Well, this is like a few years ago on Total Divas.
Oh, Total Divas. I thought you were talking about Tough Enough.
No, yeah, my bad. Sorry about that.
Hmm. Tough. It was a tough talk.
Yeah, but if you have no wrestling, I feel like if you have no wrestling background, why be at Tough Enough? Or if you don't lift weight or anything, then why are you?
Or at least a passion.
I know he has. He has no passion. I think he has no passion.
But people like him.
For
like people seem to really like him, and a lot of people seem to get behind him.
Because it's like his charisma and where he comes from. Like, he's kind of like relatable, and he's relatable. He's not athletic. He's not trying. I feel like he's not even trying to be like. So he's saying on the screen that he's doing that, but how many is he doing? Five on screen? And then he's like, oh, I'm going to go eat some more peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, that sounds good right now.
I know it does. It sounds fine.
You know what? I like ZZ.
No, actually peanut butter sandwiches. I forgot that he doesn't like jelly.
He's trying to watch his figure.
I'll give him credit though. One of the best parts of that whole episode, they were just like, what the fuck's up with the milk shots? And I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was something just like, milk represents life.
ZZ's there to like.
Were you saying, Drew, he's there to what?
He's just there to appear to the lowest common denominator. Just seem with like people who like Duck Dynasty, for example. He's like one of those southern characters who's just supposed to be outrageous and stupid, and it appeals to people. Same with Duck Dynasty.
Hmm. Interesting.
that's actually kind of funny. Luke Harper reminds me of someone who would be in Death Dynasty.
I think everyone in the White family does.
But, yeah.
Jaden, you got anything, any thoughts about tonight's Raw?
I saw the main event. It was And the match between was it Naomi and and Naomi and Paige. It was pretty good. I actually liked it. I wanted Naomi to win for it to look kind of like stronger and like a looking more like a heel. Mm. But of course, Paige ultimately comes out and wins. So, I mean, probably, the promo with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, that was pretty good. Actually, he's looking good, in good shape for SummerSlam, and he's probably going to win ultimately because Undertaker, I don't know, I guess they want him to look stronger than so, I don't know.
Yeah.
You can go on to see Seth.
I mean, Undertaker ain't going to be doing anything else anytime soon.
He's old.
He's old.
Say that to his face. Like, fuck, he might kill you.
Wait, what'd you say?
Say it to his face.
Well, he might kill you.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He'll probably,
Hell's Gate.
Yeah, that's if you get off easy. He doesn't choke slam you to hell.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably will. As small as I am. But, the match between, I heard there's going to be a match between, Cena and, Seth Rollins and, it's a championship for championship, so I don't know what to expect because I don't want Seth Rollins to win, but at the same time, I don't want John to win. So it's a retarded match.
Fuck. Fuck finish. That's what's going to happen. There's going to be no winner for this match. It's the only way they can go. But Jaden, we got some other things we got to move along here. So before you go, your high point, low point for what you did see of Raw.
Oh, yeah. Probably be the main event. I didn't really like it that much.
Ah, disappointing.
But,
what was
I eat? Rest in peace. Oh yeah, rest in peace. Roddy Piper and
Do you have a favorite Roddy Piper memory?
Perfect. That was a
pretty
good match. Really? Very nice. Alright, Jaden, you have a good night, dude.
I mean, it was bad.
It was good. Right. You have a good night, dude.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, man.
Alright, always good having all the callers here on Mega Powers Radio Raw post show. If anytime you want to call in, we still got a few minutes left here, dial in area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us on Twitter at Raw Post Show, which we got another tweet in here from our friend Dane Quinn. He said, I can't believe he's bringing this topic back up. WWE fires Hogan, yet Jericho stomped on a flag, JBL did the Hitler walk in Germany, and HBK used the Canadian flag as a tissue. Different times, man. Different times.
I can see maybe them getting
a
Hitler walk, but not this is a
one,
good, this
one
is
thing, different time one period. Thing, what he talked about is a hot topic. The other one are just insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And the Brazilian flag thing was this Jericho being in character, and he thought that'd be something to get him over a little bit or get more.
Brazilians
heat,
are fucking idiots, so don't take.
Didn't he get arrested for that?
Yeah, he did.
Well, the police they didn't get quite arrested. The police came out during the match, and he publicly apologized, and WWE suspended him, and that's how
for
they
like
dealt
30
with
days,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, there was more stuff coming out about Hogan all the time, and I'm pretty sure at the beginning of that sex tape, he does all these things.
Yeah, no, no. I was thinking Caroline mentioned in the Mega Maniacs Raw just like talk thread that we talk in with the Raw. And
what
stuff.
Did she say?
She went on says that she wanted to watch the sex tape, and I did end up looking up the, like just like the sex tapes just on Hulk Hogan sex tape on the internets. You know, that's what we do nowadays.
God.
And the one thing I noticed was that, like at the very beginning,
the
was like
point,
you know, I'm getting to the point. I'm like right at it, but like. It said, like, he goes on, like, a racist tirade, and that was the words that they used. And I was just like, man, dude, you just can't fucking do anything right now, Hulk. Come on.
At least he didn't go on a tyrant.
Yeah.
What was the point of all that?
I have no fucking idea.
It boils
and
down
that's
to...
That's why we wear
yes.
slippers now.
Not about eating family. Yeah.
Sean, what do you think?
Wago, I think Miguel blocked you.
I forgot what we were talking about. It fucking grew up my brain.
I don't know. Oh, fucking.
We were talking about the Raw that happens on the TV of the shows that.
People got in trouble for stuff.
We had about Hogan still? Or were we had about wrestling?
We never asked
well, Hogan and wrestling don't go together anymore, so. Could only be one or the other.
Hogan, bad man. No, do that. That's all I got.
Slap on wrist. Bad guy.
We had this very weird backstage promo with Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper, which, you know, are always odd in their own right for their own reasons. But this one gets especially weird when Sheamus walks in holding his Money in the Bank briefcase, just looking all, like, confused. And then, like, he just kind of joins in on their promo, and it was just so, like, odd. It's like Sheamus, like, walked into the wrong room, and it's like, wait a minute, this isn't the janitor's closet. Well, wait a minute, it is the janitor's closet. Why are you guys in the janitor's closet?
We like the thing is with like the Wyatt family like promos they always do, it's like a mysterious place and like you know where are they at when they do these promos and apparently Sheamus can fucking find them like it's nothing. So I thought that was completely strange. Also, you mentioned it just like light music that they were playing in the background of this promo, very ominous. Very.
I didn't hear it until I turned my TV up, but it was like. A wind whooshing, and there was like this very faint humming and these like echoey drums. It was really cryptic and creepy, and I liked it. I don't know if they've been doing this for a while, but tonight's the first night I noticed it.
I still didn't notice it even after you guys had pointed it out.
Go back and watch it. I think after us mentioning it, you'll be able to notice it really easily, but I noticed it right off the bat, at least like the drum part that you mentioned, Peyton.
You know what I would have liked to have seen? How Sheamus, every time he does his entrance, he starts saying that, what's it, like, Rafa Bella or something? Whatever the fuck he says. I don't know, but every time he does that, the lights come on. If he would have done that backstage to see where the hell they're filming it. I thought this was cool, though. It was like, especially when Orton did it later on with Reigns and Ambrose, felt a little old school to me.
Like when they used to have, like the Survivor Series teams of all the guys around together doing their promos.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love that. Like, having Reigns and Ambrose together is something we've seen quite a bit, but then Orton pops back up and it's all like, oh, yeah, we're all a team. We're going to kick some ass. Like, I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was cool. Sheamus in a different environment. Orton in a good mood, apparently, according to Ambrose.
Yeah, what was it?
Nice little part, too, where Reigns was just like, oh, me and Crazy here. And he was just like, what?
He, like, grilled looking at him for, like, 10 seconds after he said it. He was like, dude,
hey, fuck you,
who you called Crazy? And what was it he said about Randy Orton?
He said something like, oh, look, he's finally in a good mood.
Oh,
he's finally got a good attitude for once.
Nice.
I thought this was awesome. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, they were both lots of fun. And, like, it's cool to see people in different environments like that. Like, Sheamus in that lighting and that creepy background. Like, that's not a place you normally get to see Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind
of
like...
Almost kind of makes me want them to change him and make him another member of the Wyatt family.
Why the fuck not?
Well, when he popped out, I'm like, oh, discount Eric Rowan.
Discount Eric Rowan, more like a better Eric Rowan.
As much as I don't like Sheamus, it's still true.
Well, I don't want to jump into that main event just yet, but we'll talk first about Wade Barrett versus Zack Ryder. Very quick, short match to keep King Wade Barrett looking strong, I suppose. The only really note I have from this is that Zack Ryder looked like he was dressed like the Bumblebee Man.
And it was the same thing.
Like,
all right, Triple H.
Yeah, I guess since Ricardo Rodriguez is gone, we need a new Bumblebee Man.
At least his woos are more energetic than fucking
Charlotte's.
Charlotte's, yeah.
Yes.
How do you say woo 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 in Spanish?
El woo. That was terrible. Anyone have anything they want to add about this? I mean, this was basically just a segment filler for Wade Barrett to get some exposure.
I turned to John as Zack Ryder came out, and I'm like, oh, Zack's on TV for once. He's losing. Yeah.
Mr. Chris Dace from the Dace Man Show must have been very happy to see Zack Ryder on TV, and then he must have been devastated to see him lose to Wade Barrett.
All right, so I went on Google Translate. Woo, 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 usted lo sapa.
Usted lo sapa.
Yeah, this is just for Barrett to beat somebody in the meantime. I mean, he's probably not even going to have a match at SummerSlam.
So. Yeah, feel bad for him for that. The King have a match. He cut a promo. Well, I didn't hear the promo at all. I just came back because he had a mic.
Said something about, like, having this crown makes me better than all of you here in the arena. Like, which is what you would expect.
Well, you almost lost the crown to a guy who was carrying a plunger around, so.
But he didn't.
I won't talk too much.
With that epic battle that went back and forth for months, so glad we had that feud, because now Wade Barrett looks like a true champ.
Yep.
Jesus. more fun segment we had. Paul Heyman comes out and starts warming up the crowd before inviting out Brock Lesnar, who he just comes out, picks up one of the ring steps, tosses them into the ring, and then gets in there and just stands on it like he's up on a pedestal while Paul Heyman drops into the craziest Paul Heyman that you know, and to the point where he actually starts yelling in Yiddish. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him do that before. You know, he's poked jokes about his Jewish side and all that, but he literally just completely went into another mindset and started yelling in Yiddish. It was fantastic. Paul Heyman is just on point as always. Brock Lesnar, I guess, is playing to his strengths. Just looking just like a badass. Yeah, that's the best thing you could do with Brock Lesnar most of the time when you're building a match. You did what you had to do here. You know, it's a shame Undertaker can't be around to do some more stuff with him, but this is fine. This is fun. Wago, I know you're one of the biggest Paul Heyman fans here. What did you think about his performance with this tonight?
As always, Paul Heyman does a fantastic job, and just found it rather odd that Brock was like, you know what? Now.
Yeah, I wonder if that was scripted or he just decided to throw that in the ring because he thought it was cool.
Well, I saw some weird psychology going on with this when he was going to do that leap up to the ring and then he was like, nah. I was like, oh, is he like going back into heel mode and he's not going to do the jump so that people don't get excited from it? But then he grabs the steps and throws them in. I'm like, oh, what the hell's going on here?
Do you reckon the fans got scared when he started throwing steps?
I would have.
Like, oh, yeah. Well, he started walking towards like the center of the ring, obviously, but like he started just walking one way, and I was like, what if he just like throws this into the crowd for no fucking reason at all? Just fuck me, right, for that. But god,
you know what, it might one up the guy, might one up the guy that went and took a car door home with him.
Yeah,
I got a step
now. But here's the thing, if he does do that, who, but when he goes backstage after the segment, who's going to tell him that what he did was wrong? That's the question.
Not me.
Nobody. Yeah, either. You think Vince? Well, Vince is there. Maybe he will. Vince is fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Brock Lesnar is the only guy who has 100% creative control these days.
It's not in his contract.
No, yeah.
It's just...
It's like...
And then afterwards, they're like, okay, fine, we'll have it your way. We'll just give him a noogie. He's like, attaboy.
Brock Lesnar's like, yeah, I knew you'd see it my way. yeah, so that's cool. Again, cool match. And helping make SummerSlam feel like something special, which I really don't think they've done in quite some time. In other news, we had another Divas match between Naomi and Paige. This was laid down after the Divas match we had earlier. Not a bad match between these two ladies either, I gotta say. Paige gets a victory with the PTO. The only thing I'm upset about is this damn babyface team is just winning every goddamn match. Where's the struggle?
That's my biggest complaint about this too. And like, when it comes to the match between this one and the other one, this one was more like Naomi was in charge and she was going the slow methodical route, which I had no complaints with. The match was fine, but fuck me for wanting like this like to be a Divas Revolution. These teams are like scrapping. They get each one's getting a win over each other. Who is the better team? But at the end of the day, just this one fucking team wins every single week. So
you know who I'm rooting
what's
for?
What's the point of this storyline?
I'm rooting for Team Bad. Seems like they can't catch a break.
Rooting for Tamina at the end of the day.
Tamina was on point playing her part tonight too. Like when they did that backstage interview, and like as everyone else left, she just kind of like towered over. I forget who was interviewing. I mean, it was Renee or JoJo, but
JoJo. It was JoJo. She was randomly there tonight. I thought that was weird. I don't know if Tamina could pull it off, but maybe she should just go full Brock Lesnar mode and just like she's like because she's the biggest. And
like make her like what they were supposed to do with Karma, but do it with Tamina.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of going her. She hasn't been doing anything other than the bodyguard thing for a while now. And you mentioned the Karma thing. Karma's thing was she just got pregnant, which ruined everything. But I think Tamina could pull it off. You know, it wasn't until she started doing this, like, biker jacket and, like, leather pants
pull
thing.
Off,
was
pull off what? Being pregnant?
No, on the part of, like, just, like, being a complete badass. I didn't realize how tall she was. Because she was in that feud with Beth Phoenix back in, like, 2012 when she was just being like, yeah, I'm that one guy's daughter. I was just like, yeah, she's kind of tall and she's kind of big, so why not?
Well, good input, Drew. Wago, I know you were one of the biggest supporters of Naomi. Is she in a good spot right now? Like, in my opinion, I think this is the best she's ever been in her career.
She's not in a bad spot by any means because she's part of arguably one of the biggest stories, at least. Stephanie McMahon's put her stamp on it, so she's not going to come out on the winning side for sure. I think that eventually goes to the NXT Divas, though it's been going on every week. So I'm not invested in this feud, so I'm not too sure what to say on it other than I hope they do something big at SummerSlam.
Hmm. Tony, this sets up Paige to be the guest on Stone Cold Steve Austin's live podcast, which is going on right now. Maybe that's where everybody is. Do you think she was a good guest for this as a fill-in?
I'm definitely going to check it out, but I really have no interest in it whatsoever. What's she going to say that's really going to be like a bombshell?
I mean, it's not going to be a bombshell, but you know, I think she could have some cool stories to tell, like growing up with her mom and already like being around wrestling shows and everything her whole life.
I got a feeling what the whole thing's going to be is Austin's going to be like, so, you know, you've been wrestling all your life. Tell us about that. She'll be like, yeah, I've been wrestling all my life and fuck everybody else. And he'll be like, yeah, cool. All right. So what else you want to talk about? And she'll just be like, pull over. Because that's what he fucking says, according to Total Divas.
And then Austin challenges her to a Texas death match.
What?
Yeah, and gets all like hardcore kayfabe mode. You want to do this?
I think this is going to become the saturation point for the Stone Cold podcast. I think we might have just gotten a little spoiled, I guess I'll say, with all the Stone Cold podcasts we've gotten because they've all been with these bombshell guests. But you know what? They're going to run out eventually. And
you know who would have been good guests? Roddy Piper and Dusty Rhodes.
And Hulk Hogan, for that matter.
Yeah. So, even the people that are still around, though, there's still other people that would be interesting. I mean, I know that I might be in the minority here. I would love to see, over somebody like Paige, fucking Mark Henry.
Mm.
You know, like, he's been around for decades, and
apparently,
Kane has, too.
You're not on his wrong side. He's meant to be an absolute sweetheart.
Who, Mark Henry? He did a radio interview with Brett Rosenbloom, which was absolutely amazing. And throughout the whole interview, he kept putting over Cesaro. This was like 3 years ago, too. And he just kept talking about how strong Cesaro was. Mark Henry talking about how strong Cesaro was.
I'll tell you another one that needs to do this. Shawn Michaels needs to do one of these.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Bret Hart would be a great guest for Stone Cold. Mm.
The issue with Bret Hart thing is we already know what it's going to be. So screwed in 97, huh? Owen's dead.
I don't want to hear.
Remember when you couldn't wrestle anymore because Goldberg kicked you?
He'd be like, no, I don't remember that because he kicked me.
I want to see a Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold one, mainly for the sole purpose of, oh, you have a ranch? Oh, I have a ranch as well.
Do you have
ranch?
A TV crew? Because I don't anymore.
Yeah, so I wouldn't want to see those two.
You know, when you announce, like, we're going to do another Stone Cold podcast. All right, cool. Who's guest? And it's Paige. All right, well, shit. This is What's obvious. Next week? Next week's fucking Epico?
This is one guy on their roster, which is brilliant for any interview that he does, and they need to take advantage of it. William Regal.
Ooh, yes, yes, yes.
That'd be cool. Or shit, even if you wanted to make sure that you were doing something with the Divas to highlight them, do Sasha Banks, do Charlotte, do Becky Lynch, do Bayley, do, you know, Paige is a brat. I can't stand her lately. So I really don't care, like, about her background. I don't care about what she wants to bitch about. She's annoying as shit on Tough Enough. So, I mean, I'm going to watch it, but I'm not going to
win. Maybe that's why. Maybe they feel like she needs some rehab after the, you know, the way she's been shown on some of these other shows.
Maybe.
And again, this was a last minute replacement. This was obviously not the original plan for the Stone Cold podcast. And as I was saying before, they signed up for a lot of these. Didn't they? They make a contract for like 12 more of them after they did the first two.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
And is that when they had their quote unquote argument?
How many of those are Jericho though?
No, those are all Stone Cold ones.
Replacing Austin.
We haven't seen a Jericho in a while. Honestly, I would have rather seen Paige with Jericho. I feel like they would have had a better conversation.
Well, I do think there was some friction with Austin, and that's why we had the Jericho podcast, and that's why they're not buffering now they have Austin back.
To be honest, the Jericho one wasn't that bad of a scene. It was that Stephanie one that everyone just got heard about.
Maybe Isn't Jericho can replace Austin.
Stephanie this week?
What was that?
SmackDown?
What?
Wouldn't they have a place on the network that he's got like another interview? Stephanie McMahon.
Who, Jericho?
Yeah.
On his podcast?
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about that.
Why would we want another interview? Didn't we get enough last time?
Maybe not the one with WWE Network, but maybe his own podcast that he does separate. Maybe that's
what maybe she has another Make-A-Wish story to tell.
Oh. Where she wants to flirt some more.
Well, there was a kid today who actually signed for WWE. Well, you know, cancer kid. That was a thing.
What, they signed? So they signed a Make-A-Wish kid?
No, they
on Twitter.
No, it was a few.
Gonna be a
it was about a week ago. And it was about a week ago. They did this thing where Triple H and Stephanie signed, just like, you know, just did one of those. Yeah, we're gonna sign you to a contract, and you're gonna be a WWE superstar. It's like one of it's like something that they did with like Connor, the Crusher, pretty much, where they were just, you know, just be nice, and I don't blame them. You know, they look good. So
this is finisher the Wishbone.
Did you see the Wishbone?
We had a main event tonight of a 6-man tag match, playa, featuring Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, and Sheamus going against Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Randy Orton. You know, for all the meaningless tag match main event jokes that you can make, this was a very fun match. They did some really cool spots throughout, especially this one exchange between Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper that really stuck out to me, where they went out of the ring and I don't know, just everything about this match flowed really well. Everyone had good chemistry, and it was a lot of fun. In the end, the babyfaces won, Roman Reigns hits the spear, and the show goes off the air with all of them raising hands like bros. Surprised they didn't all start hugging each other. Maybe they did, and I just missed it. Tony, what did you think about this main event?
You know, they've been having a lot of tag team main events for months, years, whatever. And usually by that time of the night, I'm a little bit tired of it, and I don't want to see it. But I like this match from, you know, what we were given. I like what we had for a setup with the promos ahead of time. We were talking about that earlier. I thought it was just like all around, you know, kind of fun. I don't know if they're really going to be looking back and go like, well, that really set up SummerSlam, because it kind of doesn't too much. But if this would have been in the middle of the card, I think it would have been worse, sort of. Like, they had more energy behind it being in the main event, and I liked it. I thought that it was a good way to end the show, and at the same time, we've got a lot of heavy stuff on this episode with all the Piper situation, so it was fun to just have, like, these six guys go out there, they fight each other, babyfaces win, celebrate the end.
This is the second week that they've done this in a row, too, where, like, the babyface team came out on top, and it just ended the show like that. It wasn't, like, no promo or anything afterwards, so I thought that was kind of interesting. And yeah, the Piper death, you know, makes it so everyone wants to leave on a happy note. I understand that, but makes me think in the coming weeks we might be seeing a lot of heel. I don't want to say it, but like, you know, maybe something more aggressive stuff, you know, maybe more promos end of night, especially on that go home show. So Well, it was a good main event, and you know, one of the better parts of the night overall. Enjoyed it.
Wago, any thoughts?
Yeah, I absolutely loved tonight's main event. I thought they did a great job, and I think part of the reason why I was so into it is because they actually built it through the night. It wasn't just a brief mention in a small video package. They each set of teams got their own promos in, and somehow I was invested in something which I doubt I would be normally. They've been doing a lot of these recently, with the babyface teams winning, and just a heavy focus on wrestling being the main event, and I think it works just a lot better. If you don't have a really dramatic segment which is going to want the people to tune in next week, at least send them home happy with a decent match and a babyface win.
Yay, happy. Sean, you have any final thoughts, Dad, about this match?
I didn't watch it.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up our talk for Raw then. We're going to start doing the final things here. I'm sorry, guys. I totally flaked. I did not get a favorite commercial this week. I honestly just wasn't watching the commercials. I had a lot of other things I was doing around the house, so anytime it went to a commercial break, I was running downstairs or taking care of something.
It's an amazing Roman Reigns.
Oh, that was a good commercial where like they had like bloopers. Okay, we'll give it to that. I did catch that one. That one was pretty funny. good call, Drew. You saved me on that one. Where like there was the chick like swooning on Roman Reigns.
The one with Caroline.
Yeah, the one with Caroline. And then they like dropped the mic on his head. That was a fun one. All right, we'll go with that one. All right. So then the next thing we have to do is who said it? Where I ask you guys, who said this line on the show? Okay. And no, it's not Hulk Hogan this time, Tony. All right, so guys, who said it? Ooh.
Oh, was that The Miz?
That was The Miz.
Sure, that's not Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, no, that was when Miz was trying to egg on the two of them. I forget, one of them said something. And The Miz just like, ooh, and what you got to say about that?
And the weird thing about that was, it was like something like he made an insult, you know, like if you're like surrounding two people who are having like a rap battle and you have the guys that go, oh, he just goes gay.
That was Miz's version of Kofi, like getting all excited when like Big E drops a bomb. yeah. So that's all I got for this week on the Who Said It. So we got one last thing to do, and that is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most must-avoid, god-awful, terrible part of the show was. If you have a good, bad, and ugly you want to tell us about it, feel free to drop it in the chat room or on the Twitter or any other place where you can comment into. In the meantime, let's tell the hosts here, or let's find out, rather, what their good, bad, and ugly is. Sean, tell us what your good, bad, and ugly for tonight's show is.
The good was the opening match, Seth Rollins and Neville. The bad has to be Darren Young on commentary.
Oof.
And the ugly has to be Charlotte's man arms and her woo. I don't like how freakily long they are. I don't know.
They are long, right? Like Drew tried to call me crazy on that. No, she has freakishly long arms.
She's like Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, you definitely tried to call me out on that in the Hottest Divas tournament.
Yeah, now I'm picturing just like a giant horse head with hulkishly freaky arms.
and there's Charlotte.
That's weird, I don't remember that. I believe you.
Alright, Drew, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good definitely has got to be the Adrian Neville, Seth Rollins match. It was a great way to start the show, you know. And at one point, I thought we were going to have a new WWE champion, so they fooled me, so that's probably my best of the night. Even better. That goes to my great, my bad. I'm gonna have to give it to the Divas in general. I don't like this idea of there having this storyline of like a revolution, but one team's just dominating just right now. And unless they're gonna do this thing in the next couple of weeks where it's gonna be more even or another team just dominates, I'm not into it. And I haven't been into it for a few weeks now, so that's gonna be my bad and my ugly. It's gotta be Darren Young on commentary. Someone put some poop on his mic, for crying out loud. For fuck's sake.
Oh, God, Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
So Seth versus Neville is my good. My bad is Darren Young's commentary, and the ugly is that Roddy Piper's no longer with us.
Oh, very touching. Way to go.
Good ugly.
Tony, your bad. Your good, bad, and ugly.
Good's going to be the opening match and the whole setup for the situation with Neville and Seth Rollins. Awesomely done. Very good. Especially the foot on the ropes part. That was just great. My bad. I was going to give it to Austin because not only is that thing with Paige not interesting to me, but there was also one shot that they screwed up during the night where it was like, guys, we got to tell you right here, Stephen Amell. And it goes, da-da-da-da-da. But instead, I'm going to give it to Time Paradox in the chat. And the ugly, you don't talk during a time 10-bell salute.
Okay. Sorry, I was looking at Time Paradox.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what did you say about Time Paradox? Like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he must be one of JD's butt boys.
He must be one of his goons.
He's one of his goons.
By the way, shout out to Sean for the good, the bad.
The bad. He always says it like that. Just goes into the Robin Leach voice.
The good, the bad. I've been saying that for the past minute and a half by myself.
Better than the GERD.
The GERD, the bad.
The bad.
Gotta figure out something for ugly now.
He's always gotta be the bad news Barrett. Bad news Barrett. Before we get lost on this, my good, I am also going to be giving to the Rollins and Neville match. Awesome, awesome job at both those guys. The bad, I am giving to Charlotte's woos. She keeps doing them. They're going to move into the ugly. But the ugly this week, I have to give to Zack Ryder's Bumblebee Man outfit. Who the hell let him go out to the ring looking like that? Woof. All right, guys, that's all we got for tonight's edition of the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. Before we go, we got a few minutes left, and I'm going to let the host take that to tell you a little bit about some other things they got going on in their lives, because if you enjoyed this, you might dig those as well. Sean, what's good in the world of Sean?
Oh, nothing.
Well, all right.
I uploaded a video to YouTube like yesterday explaining shit. So check that out. That's youtube.com/SeanTheC1989.
I love that game.
And, yeah, check that video out, and that explains everything, really.
All right, Drew? Drew?
Oh, you know, just check
sorry, sorry, Mike muted. I pulled a Wago there, but, you know, go to facebook.com/...
Why is that a fucking Wago?
Because you do it all the time, that's why.
Yeah, it's totally a Wago.
Yeah, but anyways,
it is definitely a Wago.
You know, I kind of botched the Raw thread thing, but yeah, listen, we talk about Raw every day, or every Monday night, when Raw.
Every fucking day, we gotta talk about Raw.
Every day,
but you know, Sundays. Like, listen, there's some good. There's a good group of people in there. If you want to join in on it, listen, go to the Mega Maniacs on Facebook. Look it up. Oh God, is that automatic? Is it just?
Well, anyways, it's true.
Okay, well, anyways, just one more plug I want to get out there is if you want to, go to Smart Guy Moment and go to the jokes list on the top of the list. And pretty much, I was going through it earlier and it made me laugh some of the stuff that we said this year. And, you know, if you're not caught up entirely, go there and look up some of the jokes because we have some great jokes. And maybe if you don't understand one, it'll help you understand one.
Right, Wago.
All right, Stephen Wago on the Twitter, and that's Stephen with a PH. Go to StephenWago.com. That'll drop you onto my Tumblr where you can find all my links for all the shit that I got going on.
Wago, isn't your Twitter Steve Wago?
No, I changed it.
Oh, you changed it? Oh, well, fuck me. Sorry.
So, yeah. So, don't be like these guys. Stay up to date. Go to at Stephen Wago on Twitter.
I just wanted to make sure you were giving the right plug, because you've done that lots of times before.
Got a notorious habit for not knowing what his accounts are.
Yeah.
I did it once.
Like,
sure you did.
You did it as often as we talk about Raw and Mega Maniacs.
Indeed. All right, Tony, round out the plugs here.
markoutmoment.com. Check out Smack Talk. Later on this week, we're going to be talking a little bit about Rowdy Roddy Piper. Haven't quite decided yet. Maybe Wrestling with the Past, maybe Superstar Scores, maybe both. I don't know, but we'll see.
Definitely heard your voice crack.
It totally cracked there.
Both.
Go vote for Sasha Banks over Lana in the tournament. Vote for whoever you want to do on the men's one, too. And check out fanboysanonymous.com.
All right, folks, if you enjoy this edition of the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio, be sure to join us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw. Tune your browser to www.megapowersradio.com. Listen in, participate, call in on the phone lines, join the chat room, tweet to us, all that fun stuff. It is the most important and fun way that you can get yourself into this show here. But if you can't do that, you can join us on the you can subscribe to us rather on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, and you can easily find links to all those at smarkoutmoment.com. Again, though, the number one way that you can support us, find us on Patreon, patreon.com/megapowersradio, for as little as $1 a month. Help keep us bringing you all the cool things that we're doing, like the show you listen to tonight. That's all I got for you guys. We're only got about 20 seconds here. So for Tony Mango, for Steven Wago, for Drew White, for Sean Walker, I have been Mike Payton, your host for tonight's Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Have a good night. Be safe. And we'll see you on the flip-flop.